I first heard of egg donation pretty much my freshman year at Stanford. I had an IHEM TA who was talking about this big controversy that happened when she was a student at Cal, where this ad appeared in the Cal newspaper for, like, a woman who was 5'10 with blonde hair with these SAT scores and, like, did these sports and, like, modeling experience preferred. And they offered $20,000 for the egg. And then the exact same ad appeared in the Stanford newspaper, but they offered $40,000. So there's this big controversy about, like, a Stanford egg being worth twice as much as a Cal egg. And I was kind of like, huh, egg donation. So then, like, I started seeing these ads in the Stanford paper a couple months later that were like, elitedonors.com, $100,000. And I was like, wow, like, people really want these eggs. They're willing to pay me $100,000 for my eggs. They must be paying someone else like $1 million to find me and, like, put my egg into them and everything. So, you know, they really want to be parents. And then I realized I really wanted to give eggs because then I can have lots and lots of kids without, like, actually having to get pregnant and raise kids. I can just, you know, spread my DNA. I'm sure someday I'll change my mind, but, like, right now, at this point in my 22-year-old life, I just never ever want them. Even when I look at them, I just think, ugh, prison. Because once you have the baby, you can't really do anything anymore. It just, you raise it. And all the mothers say, like, oh, I love it, it's totally worth it. But my 22-year-old self says, no, prison, oppression. So I ended up going to this elitedonors.com webpage and I downloaded their application. And it was like this, it was pretty long, like 8 pages, with really specific questions like what color is your hair and how old were your grandparents when they died and what color was their hair and did you ever wear braces? Do you have any family history of like heart disease or cancer or, you know, blah blah blah. Just, you know, trying to get the best genes possible. So I filled it out the best I could. There was a lot I didn't know, like, you know, whether or not my grandparents had ever had braces and stuff like that. So I filled it out, and then with your application, you're supposed to send them pictures. So I went onto Facebook, and I looked around my pictures, and I picked the hottest ones of myself. Pictures that looked like I was happy and having fun, because everyone wants happy children who have fun. Or maybe not. Maybe they want kids who are way smart, and I'd do better if I took pictures at the library. And I sent them in. I sent in twice as many pictures as they wanted, actually, to increase my chances of them seeing my beauty, inner or outer. And I waited for a long time, and they rejected me the first time. And they did ask if anyone in the family had, like, arthritis. So that was a mark against me. But then they said they would reconsider my application for this new round of applicants that they're doing now. So, fingers crossed. If parents want to meet the egg donors, then, you know, you have to meet them, but sometimes they don't want to. I think it would be interesting. Like, I would certainly, I wouldn't say babysit, because I don't want to be responsible for it. Babies kind of weird me out, right? But, I don't know, just see it. Maybe once a year, just look in the window and see how it looks and what it's doing. I think everybody wants their child to be perfect, and, you know,
that story you just heard came from my friend Eva, who, by the way, still has not found the right agency for her eggs. Just goes to show, in egg donation, in romance, even when you think you found the perfect match, something can come along and spoil it all. You thought you and your significant other clicked, but it turns out that clicking was just the grinding of teeth. Happy Valentine's Day.